and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Oscar post-Oscar day, everybody.
Yeah.
6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Jim, you were at my Oscar party.
Yes.
As far as I know, it's the kind of Oscar party where nobody watched the Oscars because we
were all drunk.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that. Get drunk on a weeknight.
I didn't plan on it.
Oh.
I didn't plan on it.
But you had lots of wine there.
Hot Breed just left my house a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Melissa Fitzgerald, who did make her signature Hot Breed disc.
Mm-hmm. Aw.
Was not able to get to her second Oscar party.
Oh, dear.
Let's just say.
Also, she doesn't have to get up at
stupid o'clock. Insane.
Right.
But she did.
But she did. Exactly. She brought me a gown because I have to go be a movie star today. I'm shooting my film later today. Yes.
With a hangover.
You better sober up.
Wow. Exactly. I'll be in my trailer. All right. So I'm told
that you have a trailer.
You have a trailer?
I don't know. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm playing myself shouting questions at celebrities on the red carpet. So that should be taxing.
You've done that before?
Right. Exactly. What did I ask Kevin Costner?
Will you send me a message in a bottle?
Because that was the film that year.
That question has been burned into my memory forever.
Right. And I yelled at, what's her name, Gwyneth Paltrow. I'm like, oh, my God, I love Blythe Danner. She's right behind you.
Oh.
And I think, she got it. She got that. I knew it was her mother.
Okay.
See, yeah.
And didn't you and Joan Rivers get into a fight?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That same one?
It was sort of a fake fight. It was a fake TV fight, but I stepped into her area on the red carpet.
Oh, you can't do that to
Joan. And then we had a shoving match.
Oh.
But they ran that clip on E! For years.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. We were saying it is hilarious that all the right-wing, blogosphere can talk about is that Michelle Obama gave the award out. They just went insane.
Yeah.
She gave the award out for Best Picture.
Twitter exploded. The right-wing Twitter
because
sphere
exploded. Because she was invited to do something and she accepted?
Sure.
Yes.
So they're saying what now?
Okay.
But she did it in a black way.
Right.
Talk radio host Mark Davis says, you're freaking joking. Michelle Obama shoehorns herself into the Best Picture Award?
No, she was invited.
Right. No, she just She just interrupted.
Yeah. Someone else tweeted, shark jumped. First Lady Michelle Obama announces the Oscar for Best Picture for Argo. Can we just have one thing without politics?
Can we have this thing?
You
lost.
You lost. Shut the hell up.
Yeah.
And you're engaging in politics by making such a stink over it.
And she was never elected to anything.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, Chuck Woolery tweeted.
Well, what does he think?
Yeah, everyone
okay,
wants to
I
know
am
what
done.
Chuck Woolery
just
thinks.
Left the room. What the hell? Is Michelle in the movies? She just can't leave it alone. Now a speech. Shut up.
Chuck who?
And then Chuck Woolery. And then he tweeted right after that.
What
and
does
said,
Bob Barker think?
He tweeted right after that and said, sorry, I just threw up in my mouth.
I forgot that Chuck Woolery was a right-wing tool. Really?
Both he and Pat Sajak are hardcore right-wing tools.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's that about?
No idea.
Wow.
Oh, God. Tammy Bruce tweeted.
Oh, dear.
Gah! Michelle Obama. Just when I thought there was something they wouldn't be on. Gah! I've heard her make that sound in person before.
Right. Sometimes she's next door.
I know.
She's delightful. All right.
Tiny little...
No. They're all whiny and cryy over there on the right whenever they see the president or the first lady doing anything.
Who do they think they are? It's like they won an election or
something. Okay. All right. Yeah. Everybody settle. Everybody gentle down.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And the mom dances. How funny is that clip from, Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
The mom dances. She is hilarious.
I'm so proud she is my first lady.
She is hilarious and delightful. Mm-hmm. All right. So Argo, yes, as we said, won. Daniel Day-Lewis won. Jennifer Lawrence, kind of as expected, right?
Yeah, I expected Lincoln to win instead of Argo, but, you
really?
Know. Yeah, but I'm fine with Argo.
Spielberg bought you off, didn't he?
No, he didn't. It's just because, you know, Ben Affleck wasn't nominated for Best Director, and that usually doesn't happen where
Yeah. No, exactly.
So, yeah, but good for Ben Affleck. He gave a great speech.
Good on him. Yeah, he was very cute.
Yeah. I have a little of it if you want to hear
it. Yes, I would like some.
Okay.
You thought Seth MacFarlane seemed really nervous.
I thought he was really nervous, and it made me really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The Shatner thing was a little odd.
It was a little too long.
Really, it didn't.
Yeah.
You know, the boobie song, that was great, you know, and, but.
That job is too big for anybody. They just have to have a robot do it. It's a human being is going to be too nervous. It's too big an audience.
I think they need a professional host like Ryan Seacrest or something like that.
Yeah.
Seth MacFarlane has never done anything like that in front of a big room.
Yeah.
So, of course he's going to be nervous.
We have some of Ben Affleck.
Yes.
I was here 15 years ago or something, and I went out, you know, and I never thought that I would be back here. And I am. And it doesn't matter how you get knocked down in life, because that's going to happen. All that matters is that you got to get up.
Oh, that's the part I forgot.
What?
I just stay down.
Oh.
Getting up again. Oh, that's right. Okay, good for him.
Because he was knocked down by Geely.
Well, I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Back that hole, right? What did they call it? Bela? What did they call them? I can't remember. There's been so many, you know, with Jennifer Lopez couples.
God, I don't remember.
I don't remember either. Was there a thing for them?
Bela something. I don't remember. They were some...
Jello Fleck.
Right.
Jello Fleck.
No, that's not it. Okay. All right. Oh, let's play Michelle Obama just in case some right-wingers are listening and want to hear it again.
All right.
And the Oscar goes to Argo.
Yay!
Yay!
Now that just drove right-wingers nutso.
I don't get it.
Poor Jennifer Lawrence. She fell while going up to accept her award. She did a complete face plant on the stairs. Did you see that?
I did not see that. That's probably because I was in my own face plant at the time.
You were in a pool of your own sick.
Yes.
You guys are just standing up because you feel bad that I fell, and that's really embarrassing.
But she did get a standing ovation.
For falling?
For
all of it.
All of it,
She was the best thing in Silver Linings Playbook.
For falling down. Yeah, she was very good.
And then I have to say, this one I did think was funny. The fantasy, we saw your boobs sequence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They were pretending that he did that as a musical.
We saw your boobs. We saw your boobs. In the movie that we saw your boobs. Meryl Streep, we saw your boobs in Silkwood. Naomi Watson, Mulholland Drive. Angelina Jolie, we saw your boobs in Gia. They made us feel excited and alive. And Hathaway, we saw your boobs in Brokeback Mountain. Halle Berry, we saw them in Monsters Ball. Nicole Kidman and Eyes Wide Shut. Marissa Tomei and The Wrestler, but we haven't seen Jennifer Lawrence's boobs at all. We saw your boobs. We saw your boobs. In the movie that we saw your boobs. Kristen Stewart, we saw your boobs in On the Road. And in Monster, we saw Charlize Theron's. Helen Hunt, we saw them in The Sessions. And Scarlett Johansson, we saw them on our phones. Jessica Chastain, we saw your boobs in Lawless. Jodie Foster in The Accused. Hilary Swank and Boys Don't Cry. Penelope Cruz and Vanilla Sky. And Kate Winslet in Heavenly Creatures and Jude. And Hamlet and Titanic. And Iris and Little Children. And The Reader. And whatever you're shooting right now. We saw your boobs. We saw your boobs. Ladies and gentlemen, the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles. We saw your boobs. 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 Boobs, boobs. We saw your boobs.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yes, and he's a great singer.
Amazing they found enough gay men to sing in the chorus.
I know.
So unusual.
Yeah. Right.
Especially for Hollywood.
Trying to drive through Hollywood yesterday, that was...
No, the streets were still closed down.
Because
I have to pass right past the Dolby Theater. Yeah. The streets were closed
down. I was driving to Spinning Glass, and they were literally putting barricades down in front of me. I was like trying to outrun the barricades.
Right.
No, I got to get through. And then the... Yeah, exactly. I saw Zero Dark Thirty. I was telling Jim.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw it Saturday because I wanted to see it before the thing.
Was it good?
Yeah, I had the New York Times yesterday. We got to get this guy on.
Okay, we're working on it.
That's a lot of highlighting, but it's very important. No, I thought it was a good film, but he makes a really good point. It's entitled Torture Lies in Hollywood. We posted it, and we'll talk about it. And it's what we were saying, Jim, that it does create the misimpression that we got the information by torturing this one guy.
Right.
The guy that wrote this is an FBI agent who has been involved in all of this, and he said exactly what McCain and Feinstein and everybody else are saying. First of all, the movie, this is a composite character. And this guy, what they're saying is the guy that it's based on, it's not the guy we got the information from, so it creates the misimpression that you know, that torture works. So, anyway, this guy will... I'll just read a little. Ali Soufan, you've heard of him. He wrote the book, The Black Banners, The Inside Story of 9/11 mm-hmm. and the War Against Al-Qaeda. He said, I watch Zero Dark 30 not as a former FBI special agent who spent a decade chasing, interrogating, and prosecuting top members of Al-Qaeda, but as someone who enjoys Hollywood movie. As a movie, I enjoyed it. As history, it's bunk. The film, and he makes the point that I think a film that's supposed to be based on real events should be more accurate.
Right.
And it's not saying you don't have a First Amendment right, but you're going, this is an actual historical event, and he's afraid it's going to create the misimpression, mm-hmm. especially for the next generation, that this is how this went down. Anyway, he said, the film opens with the words, based on first-hand accounts of actual events, but the filmmakers immediately pass fiction off as history. When a character named Ammar is tortured and afterward it's implied gives up information that leads to Osama bin Laden, Ammar is a composite character who bears a strong resemblance to a real-life terrorist, Ammar al-Baluchi. Both in the film and real life, he was a relative of bin Laden's lieutenant, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, but the CIA has repeatedly said that only three detainees were ever waterboarded. Blah, blah, blah. But the real Mr. Baluchi was not among them, and he didn't give up information that led to bin Laden. Well, that's a pretty big hole in the story right there, right? I mean, it's... in fact, torture led us away from bin Laden after Mr. Muhammad was waterboarded 183 times. Remember, Jim, we always talked about this. He actually played down the importance of a courier who ultimately led us to bin Laden. Numerous investigations, most recently a 6,300-page classified report by the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, have reached the same conclusion: enhanced interrogation didn't work. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly why McCain and Feinstein, all these senators, wrote to the filmmakers. Portraying torture as effective risks misleading the next generation of Americans that one of our government's greatest successes came about because of the efficiency of torture. It's a disservice both to our history and to our national security. Mm-hmm. Anyway, great stuff. Well, filmmakers have the right to say what they want, because I've read Kathleen Bigelow's piece, and I get it, that, you know, you can't squelch First Amendment rights, but this is an actual historical event. While filmmakers have the right to say what they want, government officials don't have the right to covertly provide filmmakers with false information to promote their own interests. Providing selective information about a classified program means there is no free market of ideas, but a controlled market subject to manipulation. That's an abuse of power. Mm-hmm. And anyway, they talk about John Brennan, former CIA official, now President Obama's nominee to head the agency, recently testified the classified report raised serious questions about information he received when he was the agency's deputy director. Mr. Brennan said publicly what many of us who were in interrogation rooms when the program was devised have been warning about for years. Senior officials right up to the president himself were misled about the enhanced interrogation program. Anyway, but he makes a really good case for they ought to declassify this.
Right.
To set the record straight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I agree with him. All right.
We have a little bit of breaking news.
Yeah, yes. What?
It was Bennifer.
Bennifer.
That's what Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck were called.
I like Jell-O Fleck
Twitter.
Better.
Thank you, Twitter.
Jell-O Fleck.
Jell-O Fleck, yeah.
All right. That sounds kind
of
gross.
reminds
me when I had food poisoning
a couple
weeks ago.
Okay. Dude.
Oh, it's Jell-O Fleck. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's the life of the Democratic Party. Ignore the lampshade. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
What? I've got party food on my lips.
You got party food on your lips.
Okay. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800. I'm a mess.
Boy.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. Happy post-Oscars, everybody. Mm-hmm. What kind of drinks was T-Bone making?
There was the Zero Dark Thirsty.
Right.
Ginger vodka. And right. Jessica Chastain.
Because she's a ginger.
Right.
And the Margarita. Which is made with pomegranate juice, which is Iran's number one export.
There you go. Awesome. We are creative drunks here at Stephanie Miller Show. So he departed from his normal flirtinis?
Yes.
Okay.
He had an Oscar party. So.
All right. Laura in Pennsylvania. Hey, Laura. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie and everyone.
Hello.
Hi. You can hear me, right?
Yes.
Okay, good, because I was having problems with my phone.
Okay.
Anyway, my topic is the deficit, and I know most people are aware that there was $2 trillion left in the for the deficit before Obama got in. Okay,
right.
From the great Republicans that killed us before and is about to kill us again. Okay, well, everybody out there, do you know also Ryan owes the same amount? that our president does, $7 trillion.
Yes.
So I'm just tired of them lying constantly. These stupid Republican voters are going to put us in another recession. Why? I don't understand it. They just want to take everything off us, and I don't understand. What the hell's the matter with
them? They want to destroy the country, and they think they can blame Obama for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's their whole motivation right now.
Yeah. I will go back to the story. You know, I've told the story before, but when my brother tackled me into the Ming vase and it broke, and then he said,
Ming vase.
It was something expensive in the 70s.
It was the crystal egg from Risky Business.
Right.
Right.
Because he would yell Butkus, and then I would run for my life.
Yes.
Because he was the feared tackler in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Dick Butkus, and then he would tackle me, and he... Right.
And he broke the crystal egg from Risky Business.
And then he said, look what you did. Mom's going to kill you. Republicans are doing to Obama on the economy. Look what you've done now. All right. By the way, I just had to read a little bit more of this. We have got to get this guy on, Ali Subhan.
We're working on it.
Yeah. Torture Lies in Hollywood. We posted it up on the Facebook page.
Yes, we did.
Because I saw Zero Dark Thirty. I wanted to see it because that was the only one I hadn't seen. And it is. It's a good movie, but I agree with him that you can't take something historical and kind of fudge it or make it like a composite character. And
right.
Yes, torture went on during that period, but it does leave the distinct impression that that's what led to Bin Laden.
You know what also was a good movie? Triumph of the Will.
Thanks, Joe.
First Hitler reference of the day.
Thank you. Nearly a half hour in. Okay.
That was a little more esoteric than your usual Hitler reference.
Right. Though. Yes, you would. Exactly. He didn't say the word Hitler, for instance.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, so some of these memos, because this is a really important issue, I think, for history. He's right. Some of these memos and reports pointing out their inaccuracies have been declassified, but they're also heavily redacted. So are books on the subject, including my own. Meanwhile, promoters of torture get to hoodwink journalists, authors, and Hollywood producers while selectively declassifying material and providing false information that fits their narrative. This is when you see Dick Cheney. He just keeps the same narrative going, like, oh, yeah, it worked.
It worked.
Right.
And the creators. I'll torture you.
Zero Dark Thirty attempted to document the greatest global manhunt of our generation, but they did so without acknowledging that their quote-unquote history was based on dubious sources.
Mm-hmm.
The filmmakers took the first-hand accounts, quote-unquote, of a few current and former officials with an agenda and amplified that message worldwide, suggesting Americans in cinemas around the country and regimes overseas that torture is effective and helped lead to Bin Laden. There is no suggestion in the movie that another narrative exists. And that's true. See, now I've seen it, so I can confirm.
Right.
Hollywood is primarily about entertainment. The moral responsibility for setting history straight, ensuring the public isn't misled, and making sure mistakes aren't repeated falls to Congress and the president. Yet the Senate report remains classified, and only those with security clearances like Mr. Brennan can read how the public was misled. It's the duty of the president and Congress to responsibly declassify the report. And the other documents that advocates of torture don't want released. That's the only way to ensure that future generations won't ever go down that dark and dangerous path again. As Senator John McCain has said, the Senate report has the potential to set the record straight once and for all and end a stain on our country's conscience. Once that's done, it won't be long before another Hollywood movie comes along to tell the real story of how America killed Bin Laden. Great stuff. And we're going to get him on, Ali Subhan, to talk about that whole subject. I agree. It's not often that we say, why, that John McCain is right.
Yeah.
But we just did.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Let's go to Kathy in Michigan. Hey, Kathy.
Oh, good morning. Wow.
Wow.
Can I ask you a question? What is a MOOC?
You know what? It's I am too old and drunk to remember now, but I think it's...
it's a sidekick that constantly tears the other person down.
Right. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From where is this reference?
Brooklyn. I don't know.
Yeah.
Friggin' MOOCs.
Yeah.
Okay, what I wanted to comment on, and I'd like your view of this is, you know, in all this discussion of the sequestration and how it's going to impact everything and everybody, how come we never hear about the Congress taking a pay cut or, you know, I get the impression that the Congress really, the majority of them really went for this job because they make a lot of money, $170,000
right.
a year.
Well, that would require consistency and also, what's the other word, a soul?
Of most of those people are already millionaires from
other
ventures.
Other things,
so they should just turn down the pay if they're so freaking rich.
Exactly. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Our hats are off to
Stephanie Miller
for proving once again that given the opportunity, actresses over 50 can land large aircraft.
What?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Your lovely wife offered to give me the screener of, what do you call it, Flight.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah. Your wife is a member of the Academy?
Well, no, I am.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, I'll wait till I'm getting on a plane when we're going on vacation in a couple weeks. I'll wait till right before I get on a plane. That's a good time to see that.
I don't think they'll be showing that in flight.
No.
It's like an airplane where they're showing airport on the in-flight movie. Right.
And the Hindenburg crash and everything. Well, did you
I hope Denzel Washington's flying this plane because he's the only one that can land it upside down.
Did you like the sock puppet rendition of Flight? Do you remember that?
Just a little bit
of it,
yeah,
okay.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
The sock snorted cocaine. His eyes came back up, all big.
Lester in Nevada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Lester.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I just wanted to remind the American voters that for the first 2 years of this presidency, when the Democrats had the House of Representatives, our president came up with proposal after proposal after proposal that were Republican-backed ideas that were passed by the House. And as soon as they got to the Senate, they were filibustered. And these were ideas that would have helped the country.
Yep, exactly. Well, and look at this is why it's almost the perfect example that it is what it would at any other era be considered an olive branch. Nominating a Republican Secretary of Defense is also, whatever. All right.
Decorated veteran.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Tanya in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tanya.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Oh, hello.
I am doing wonderful, and I have a couple of points to make.
All right.
Number one was on the sequestration, which is the separation of the American people from the American way of life, period.
Yeah.
End of discussion. That's what it is. That's all it is. It's the separation of the American people from the American way of life. How dare they?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Number one. And number two, congressional paychecks. I have a problem with this, okay? I'm part of the negative 1%. I made $5,000 last year, but I'm very proud of that because I made it with my own two hands. So the congressional paychecks should match the paychecks of the people they represent. So, in other words, their paychecks should be $25,000 a year as well.
Yeah, interesting. All right. Yes, I'm sure we'll propose that to them. I'm sure they'll be down with that. All right. Is it me? I'm already sick of the sequestration.
I love the color of Vader there and the way the far right preys on Medicare. Eyes of the Tea Party on the wind that blows their speeches of hot air. I'm sick of the sequestration. It's given me some frustrations. I'm down on the sequestration. It's stopping the whole damn nation. I'm sick of the sequestration. It's government conservation. I'm fed up with sequestration. It's GOP masturbation. I'm sick of the sequestration.
Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yes. And Mary in Ann Arbor.
Right. I was just going to say, you got studio singers together.
Yes.
Want to sing a thing about sequestration?
Yeah.
What a bunch of geeks. I love you guys.
It's hard to replace Brian Wilson, but...
He did it.
Yeah, he did it.
Aaron in Buffalo. Hey, Aaron, welcome.
Hi, Mama.
Hello, baby.
I have a very special 50th birthday wish that only you can grant.
It's your 50th today?
Yes, it is.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
Could you please wish me happy birthday as Barbara Walters?
Oh, all right. Wow. Happy 50th birthday to you, Alan.
Thank you so much.
All right. All right.
scratch, because she has chicken pox, you see.
I am very, very itchy. Sorry. You're right. That was a little more true to life.
I wonder if Tom Brokaw has the measles.
Or Rubel.
Doesn't there exist on our CD somewhere Barbara Walters and Tom Brokaw singing Fire?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I shall fetch that.
Bye, wah. And then you sing Romeo and...
Romeo and Juliet.
There you go. See?
Samson and
that's why we thought that'd be funny. That's why we thought that'd be funny. A lot of L words and also R words for Barbara.
Uh-huh.
Bye, wah.
Okay. That's probably Tom Brokaw's favorite show, the L word.
Itchy. Okay. Squatchy. All right, the president.
Are they seriously prepared to inflict more pain on the middle class?
Yes.
Because
yes.
They refuse to ask anything more of those at the very
yes.
top.
Yes. Yes. The answer, yes. unfortunately, for that is yes.
I think he was just asking rhetorically.
Right.
I think he knew the answer.
Okay. The president again.
These cuts don't have to happen. Congress can turn them off any time with just a little compromise.
So what is this, Friday, right? It's coming up Friday.
Friday.
Yeah. It's Jim's called it exactly right.
They
want to harm the economy, so then they hope that people have no memory.
Look how bad the economy is.
Look what the black guy did.
Yeah. And did you know that if we go into sequestration, we can't undo sequestration for 30 days after it happens?
Yeah.
So, if they come to an agreement and take away sequestration, we can't undo it for another 30 days.
Yeah.
So this is going to cause huge harm to the economy.
Yep. You can't unbreak the Ming base.
No!
And the military.
And you can't
hurt them.
You can't uncrack the crystal egg.
You cannot uncrack the crystal egg. And I am very disappointed
in you.
Yeah, and if you're going to be flying...
Republicans, I am very disappointed.
Disappointed!
Exactly. I'm sorry, Jim, what were you saying?
I said if you're going to be flying anywhere, you better hope Denzel Washington's flying the plane, because the air traffic controllers
will be
out of commission.
Yeah, they're a little... It's going to be a libertarian paradise.
Yeah, great.
Just go! Fly, go where you will.
You figure it out.
Don't worry about the altitudes or vectors.
Yeah. So we were talking. We were talking about Rand Paul, who is technically a libertarian eye doctor.
Yeah.
Which Jim said, means you could operate with a rusty spoon if you wanted to.
Absolutely. Right? No regulations.
Let the market decide.
Absolutely.
It's America.
Well,
free country.
I don't have any lasers in here, but I do have a rusty railroad spike.
That'll work. That'll take out an eye.
If you're against regulations or safety standards of any kind. Don't be, how nanny state are you?
You should have mentioned that you wanted me to improve your vision.
Right. Let the market decide whether people want their eye surgery done with a rusty railroad spike. Just saying. Okay. Ray LaHood, yesterday he was on Meet the Press, right, talking about the effects.
This requires compromise. This requires Republicans stepping forward with some ideas about how to keep essential services of government running at the level that people have been accustomed to. This is not rocket science.
And as I recall, David Gregory asking his usual
boneheaded,
shouldn't have been the leader, reach out more. I'm thinking, Ray LaHood's a Republican. He's a Republican.
Yeah.
What? How much more can this president reach out to the other side?
He was a Republican congressman.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I'm very disappointed in you, David Gregory.
Shouldn't the president just give up?
Right. I knew how this term was going to be when that was the first question after the election, the first Sunday. Don't you think the president should appoint Mitt Romney to negotiate the fiscal cliff?
Why?
Huh?
Yeah.
You
see, that's why I don't get invited on those shows, because I literally would say, what the really, David Gregory?
He proved himself to be a spectacular failure.
Yeah. Okay. Sienna, our favorite crayon in New York. Hello, Sienna.
Hello.
Our best burnt umber.
Yeah. Actually, I'm drawing and making a coloring book right now as we speak. I'm not kidding you.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm not making a joke. It really is.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it is, actually. I'm looking for a publisher, but that's another topic.
Yes.
So I'm calling just to mention and remind people, not that they haven't been reminded enough, that this John Boehner got 98% of what he wanted, and he's happy. So when everybody else is miserable, let's remember that John Boehner is happy and take that to the voting booth in November.
Yeah.
2014.
Yeah, well, he's 98% happy. The other 2% bourbon. All right. Arnie Duncan, Education Secretary, talking about the sequestration.
We don't have any ability with dumb cuts like this to figure out what the right thing to do is. It just means a lot more children will not get the kinds of services and opportunities they need, and as many as 40,000 teachers could lose their job.
Other than that...
Or as John Boehner would say, so be it!
So be it.
So be it.
People lose their jobs, so be it.
I agree with that.
Does this make any sense to you? Senator Tom Coburn, Republican of Oklahoma,
says
the Obama administration is absolutely exaggerating the effects of the sequester. He said there's easy ways to cut this money the American people will never feel. Coburn added he believes the sequester, which he called terrible and stupid, will go into effect on Friday. So it's terrible and stupid.
Terrible and stupid and no big deal.
Right, but the Obama administration is exaggerating it. What? It's like this.
And John Boehner is incredibly happy.
Right.
With it all.
Yes, exactly. Senator John Hooven.
Hooven.
Republican of North Dakota.
House Republicans have already passed two bills to replace the president's sequester. So the question is... Why won't he work with us?
Oh,
and the answer,
God.
Quite simply, is because he wants higher taxes.
The president's
as
sequester.
A part of an entire package of
God.
These people can't take yes for an answer.
No.
Yeah. Blech. Okay, 45. I'm sick of the sequestration. I am.
You want to play that again?
No. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Do we need to send you to rehab before you shoot your film today?
I probably should have stopped there.
Yeah.
On the way here. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Adam in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Adam.
Hi there. Stephanie, I'm from California, so obviously I'm stupid. But I wanted
right.
to know,
what?
How come other states don't pay the same kind of taxes we pay? Texas is trying to lure businesses away from California by telling them that, well, they don't pay taxes, so get out of California because you pay too many taxes. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that to
me? Oh, you're talking about the ads that, Rick Perry is running, right, about,
he also came in.
Texas, there's a, what a burger job for you here.
Yeah. Oh, Rick Perry also came in and toured various companies that are based in California and told them to move.
Right. Yeah. By the way, the only good thing yesterday on Meet the Press with Deval Patrick, governor of Massachusetts, was on with Bobby Jindal, governor of Louisiana, and he did put up a graph about basically just how much better things are in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And like, what do you think that could be? What do you think the difference could be? Why is everything so much better?
Yeah.
And then Bobby Jindal just said some, bull.
Yeah.
I don't
it's
amazing how, they can just twist statistics. They just put up the graph that, things are better in every way, basically.
Right.
And
Louisiana's falling apart.
Right.
But other than that.
Right. Right. Oh, we were talking about Russell Crowe during the break. I think you're right. I think he's getting a bad rap.
Yes.
Someone tweeted about the mic levels were off on the Les Mis number.
In that his mic was on. But come on.
I mean, I thought he sang very well in the movie. It was,
I do too.
Clear, sort of tenor voice. He hit the notes.
Right.
He has no natural vibrato. Hugh Jackman
has too much.
He was almost
cowardly lion-esque.
Yeah,
right.
Bert Lahr.
Hi, what a king of the forest.
No, but I thought Russell Crowe both really last night
actor.
And in the movie.
He's a really good actor.
Then he was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so too. All right.
So, there we go.
Okay. Governor Mary Fallon, Republican of Oklahoma.
Uncertainty of sequestration is really harming our states and our national economy.
A lot of the governors are obviously warning about what the effects are going to be.
Because they have no idea if they're going to have funding as of Friday for various things.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Governor John Hickenlooper of Colorado.
There can't be any question. This is something that nobody wants. Right? It's not a balanced, thoughtful compromise.
Yeah. Well, the Republicans seem to want it.
Yeah, they're
pushing
for
the economy to crash, and they want to blame Obama for it.
Yeah. Interesting story, speaking of governors, on because we were talking about Rick Scott. Actually, we're going to talk to Rude Pundit. He wrote a piece about Rick Scott and doing the right thing on at least the Medicaid expansion. But, you know, it's interesting. Jackie's from Florida, and she was like, I don't really buy it, this change of heart. I think they're coming up for re-election, and a lot of them are in states that went for Obama. Mm-hmm. And so they're, you know, anyway, it's the headlines, battered GOP governors change tune ahead of 2014. Yeah. From Politico, they stormed into office 2 years ago, willing to knock heads and make enemies, but now several Republican governors are suddenly in a fix, up for re-election next year in states that Barack Obama carried in November, mm-hmm. and with dangerously low approval ratings. So the GOP executives, Scott Walker, John Kasich, are swearing off polarizing battles over union power and budget cuts and presenting a softer side to voters. The question is, is it going to work? Are you going to forget everything that Walker did or Kasich or any of these guys? I mean, anyway, and Rick Scott's surprise expansion of Medicaid under Obamacare is the latest in a series of moves to improve his standing with the independents who will decide if he gets a second term.
That's the kind of flip-flop I like, though, because he flip-flopped to do the right thing.
Right, and that's what Rude Pundit was saying this week, is you got to give him credit for doing the right thing, but, you know, you can speculate as to his motives, right?
Right. Well, his motives are that he wants to get reelected, and you get reelected by doing the right thing.
Ohio's Kasich signed a law to curtail public employees' collective bargaining rights that generated massive protests in Columbus and a successful ballot initiative to overturn it. That's the other thing, is he got spanked at the polls over that. Mm-hmm. Now he, too, has embraced the Medicaid expansion and proposed a change to the state's education funding formula that irks many in his own party. Walker of Wisconsin withstood a recall effort, obviously sparked by his overhaul of collective bargaining and deep budget cuts. But right after the election in June, he invited Democrats and the state legislature for legislature over for beer and brats. So everything's fine now.
Yum.
Sorry about your collective bargaining. Have a sausage. And he's worked with our leaders since then on issues like mining. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett got sidetracked last year with fights over social issues. Like, he was one of the, you know, transvaginal dudes. Now he's pushing to raise gas taxes to pay for transportation projects, a plan that tests well with the public and jury group from Grover Norquist.
Bridges. Who needs bridges?
Right. Right.
Sheesh.
Meanwhile, is Senator Ted Cruz the new McCarthy? A report.
Oh, yes.
He even looks like him.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah, he does. But did you see this? If you think he's being enough of a douche muzzle now, he's
had to tone it down to get elected.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a longtime douche nozzle. A new report in The New Yorker on Friday looked back at the remarks that he reportedly made in the speech a few years ago, wherein he pointed to communists among the Harvard Law School faculty.
Right.
He literally is Joe McCarthy.
He had a list of communists, but he wouldn't name them.
I have a list in my hand of 205 communists in the State Department.
Mm-hmm. Did I say 205? I meant two.
President Obama, he added, would have fit right in. So you see, Cruz attended the school from 92 to 95, during which time he accused the Harvard Law School of harming a dozen communists on its faculty. A spokesman for Harvard Law said they were puzzled by Cruz's assertions because they were unaware of any basis for them. A professor who taught Cruz and also served under Ronald Reagan also believed Cruz's comments to be untrue. He noted Cruz could have been pointing to a specific group of left-leaning faculty members, but added deeming them communists lacked nuance. So unusual for Republicans to lack nuance these days, isn't it?
Nuance is French and gay.
Right, right, exactly.
I like the old aunts.
Like that movie Amour. French.
French and gay.
Well,
exactly.
It's not gay.
Okay.
This is about a heterosexual couple.
All right. Here's you know what? I guess this is one little silver lining.
All right.
At least we're getting something done. Senators near a deal on background checks for most private gun sales. This would seem like the minimum of what we can get done, but
I'll see it when I believe it.
Right.
I'll believe
you'll
it when
believe
I see it.
Believe it when you see it.
That's
you're drunk.
I'm drunk.
Okay. A partisan group of senators on the verge of a deal that would expand background checks to all private firearm sales with limited exemptions, but significant disagreements remain on the issue of keeping records of private gun sales. I'm sorry, this is so paranoid.
Yeah.
I mean,
the fact that the government has not yet come for your guns means they're going to come for your guns.
Right. These negotiations are challenging, as you'd expect, on an issue as complicated as guns, said Senator Schumer. But all the senators involved are approaching this in good faith. We're all serious about wanting to get something done. We're going to keep trying. I think at this point we have such a low bar for just any sort of cooperation on any issues. It's like, okay, Well, Democrats say keeping records of private sales is necessary to enforce any new law, and because current federal law requires licensed firearm dealers to keep records, records of private sales also would help law enforcement track the history of a gun used in a crime.
Mm-hmm.
That would seem helpful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Republicans, however, believe records of private sales could put an undue burden on gun owners or could be perceived by gun rights advocates as a precursor to a national gun registry.
Yeah, because it's so onerous to have, you know, have to register your car.
Right, right.
Have such a license.
Burden. Yes. Government's coming
laws.
For your cars. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour. Back with Eric Bollard and Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeehaw! It is the Stephanie Miller Show in our post Oscar glow hangover. We're all hungover, is what.
What do you mean all? I didn't have a single drink last night.
Really?
Yes.
That's just wrong. All right. Jim was at my house drinking with me, as he should be.
Yeah.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. And I understand there was a ceremony of some sort. We missed most of that. Okay. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Boy, Voice Deedy, Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. All right. Monday, my favorite time of the week, because you know why.
Yeah.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
I imagine you're enjoying the right-wing freakout over Michelle Obama giving out the Oscar last night.
You know, right when she appeared, I think all... Well, the reaction was instant on both sides. So the right-wing freakout began, and I think... liberals just started laughing and laughing, knowing that this, you know, the heads were going to be exploding.
Right, right.
And still realizing, a lot of them have no idea that Laura Bush appeared during the Oscar telecast in 2002. Ronald Reagan addressed the Academy Awards in 1981. You know, Laura Bush appeared on, you know, American Idol, I think it was. You know,
you
so
scamps.
This idea that the Obamas are this cultish, you know, narcissist, out of control people who, by the way, were invited by the Academy to please appear on the telecast last night. But, you know, she was invited, but now she's intruding. She's an egomaniac.
You scamps of Media Matters with your record keeping.
This is the definition of Obama derangement syndrome. Yep. Their image appears, and it triggers, like, this chemical reaction.
It does.
Yeah, exactly.
Chuck Woolery.
You people over there at Media Matters with your recording devices and all that, going back to Laura Bush and Reagan, and how dare you?
How dare we?
Your tweets this week, great as always. You said, yes, Fox is just like MSNBC, only conservative, because 15 hours a week, a former Democratic congressman hosts his Fox wake-up show.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it really is. It's incredible, right?
Yeah, Howard Kurtz did a piece. You know, we see him all the time, you know. He was suggesting with the hiring of Axelrod and Gibbs, you know, the MSNBC is becoming sort of the de facto mouthpiece for the Bush administration. And he was saying, well, Fox created this model and et cetera, et cetera. And in this whole long piece, he never mentions that the Fox model, you know, if MSNBC is following the Fox model, why isn't there a Democratic, you know, former Democratic congressman hosting the wake-up show on Fox television?
Exactly.
That would sort of make it the equivalent. And it's not just Joe Scarborough's on in the morning. He gets 3 hours every morning. That's 15 hours.
Yeah.
He's on just as often as Maddow, Lawrence, and Ed Schultz combined.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
But they're just like each other, I guess.
Yeah, right. And speaking of inconsistencies, you write, if Graham McCain can't sleep at night thinking about hashtag Benghazi, why'd they confirm Condi Rice, who was National Security Advisor on 9/11? We've made that exact same point, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, this thing is really just, you know, Steve Brennan, I think last week noted these Hegel dead enders are really starting to look silly. But right, so it's all because, you know, depending on the day, it's either because of, you know, what he said about Israel, what he said about Iran, it's all about Benghazi. And look, you know, and McCain went on, what was it, Meet the Press and saying, don't you care about these four Americans dead in Benghazi to David Gregory? And it's like, really? This is what it's about now? You know, Condé Rice was in charge of national security and 3,000 Americans died on 9/11. And John McCain complained that anyone dare even oppose Condé Rice, let alone filibuster. Nobody tried to filibuster her when she became Secretary of State. So, slightly different standards that they're using.
Yeah, just a little bit. By the way, you say press accounts of friends of Hamas keep scolding Breitbart for shoddy journalism. That's not what Breitbart does. Please stop pretending. Even using the word journalism in that sentence, right?
Yeah, and I also said they really need to give up the ghost. You know, they have to stop pretending that this is, quote, conservative journalism. It's propaganda. Yeah. What is propaganda? The deliberate spreading of rumor and misinformation, and in this case, for a partisan gain. And, you know, I read all these columns about, well, gee, you know, any other news organization would have posted a correction if they had, you know, screwed up as bad as Friends of Hamas, or any other reporter would have Googled or tried to track it down. That's not what they do. They're not in that business.
Yeah.
The press needs to let that go, and they need to start using the word that accurately describes what Breitbart and these other sites do, and it's propaganda.
Yep.
And the press is terrified of using that word, but that absolutely is the one that describes
it. Well, and it goes to, finally, your tweet was great. Sorry, GOP, just because Obama's popular with the public doesn't mean the press has failed to do its job. Hashtag stop whining. And, you know, you write a great piece about the Bush years and what a lapdog press really looks like. Great piece this week.
Well, thanks. I was feeling nostalgic. You know, every time I turned on Fox or went online, you know, all these right-wingers talking about the lapdog press for Obama, and they're letting him get away with everything. And then you start looking at the, well, okay, what's the evidence? And there isn't really one. Their complaint is he's too popular. You know, I wrote a book called Lapdogs, and I looked at, you know, the press performance under Bush, and specifically during the run-up to the Iraq War.
Yeah.
So I sort of pointed out, like, oh, by the way, this is what it looks like. And even I went back and looked at, you know, a lot of stuff I wrote. Even I forgot how just amazingly awful, what a complete collapse of journalism that was during the run-up to the war. So that is what a lapdog press looks like. Just because Obama's still popular, I'm sorry, that does not prove the press has failed to do anything.
And you pointed out something I'd even forgotten about. Even MSNBC was so nervous they fired Phil Donahue, who was the highest-rated host on MSNBC at the time because he was against the Iraq War. I mean,
internal GE NBC memo saying, you know, he would be a difficult face for NBC at time of war. You know, he was by far the most articulate, passionate anti-war critic. I think it was 5 weeks before the invasion. Oh, by the way, you're fired. Oh, by the way, you've got our best ratings and you're fired. It's like, you completely forget what a total collapse of journalism that we saw.
Ashley Banfield was banished for a while, too.
That's right. That's right.
Well, and that's what this Hegel thing is about, like Jim keeps saying. It's because he was right about Iraq. That's what mostly Republicans are mad about. Anyone that was right is, you know, sticks in their craw.
Yeah, and so they're going to take it out, and they're going to keep hammering away. But again, this is not a lapdog press.
Well,
in fact, one of the instances they keep pointing to, well, they won't cover Benghazi. They've covered up Benghazi. You know, you do a quick nexus search.
Right.
You know, New York Times, Washington Post, since last September, 800 columns and articles that have mentioned Benghazi. If that's a cover-up,
unbelievable.
It's a cover-up.
And you, by the way, mentioned my favorite story, the Downing Street memo. We were screaming our heads off about this. This is, remember, it was minutes from an actual meeting with Tony Blair that basically they were saying the U.S. has already decided to invade, and, you know, the U.S. is just going to be interested in justifying a war rather than preventing it. And you, as you said, how did the American press respond? It yawned. I mean,
5 weeks.
Right.
Virtually no mention. You know, that was leaked in May of 2005. It was a very big deal. As you said, it was his memos from August before the war. And Blair is meeting with his top advisors who were in D.C., and they came back, and they said, oh, by the way, we're going to war. Everything you're hearing is just a snow job. They're just they're fixing the intelligence around this invasion.
Yeah.
So this was like the Holy Grail. This is like what everyone had assumed. And for 5 weeks, the American press did nothing. And I, you know, I was at Salon at the time, and I remember reporting that. And I got comments from AP. I got comments from USA Today, and they all admitted, you know what, we totally blew it. We should have done it. But that was the mindset. You were not supposed to push back. You were not supposed to uncover this gigantic lie at the center of the Iraq war.
Well, and think how many people would be alive, Eric, if the press had done their job. But I mean, you finished by saying that, unfortunately, is what a lapdog press corps looks like. Let's not diminish the significance of that historic failure by pretending today's Beltway press is repeating that catastrophic and unprecedented abdication under Obama. Just because Obama's most strident critics have failed to turn voters against the president doesn't mean the press isn't doing its job. And anyway, one of your best, Eric Poehler, and that's saying a lot. That's saying a lot. All right, let's dive into the right wing world, see what's doing today, shall we? All right, Rudy Giuliani on Greta Van Susteren's show.
Maybe there'll be some layoffs, but not massive layoffs. And you know something? The federal government needs some layoffs. We employ way too many people in the federal government.
God.
That's why we're spending $1 trillion more than we have. If anybody thinks the federal government is efficient, then you're on Mars. The federal government is highly inefficient. It could use a 5 or 10% cut. It'll make it a lot more efficient.
Okay, so Republicans are complaining, where are the jobs? And Giuliani wants to get rid of jobs.
Right. Yeah. Right. Not as inefficient as, let's say, your last campaign, but...
Well, there's that.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the current unemployment rate, I mean, all the economists agree, you know, the reason it's stuck there is because Obama has basically slashed government jobs in a way no previous administration has. You know, of course, people like Giuliani don't give him credit for it, but he has done what other administrations don't, which is cut government jobs. And if you look at economists, they're saying, well, maybe that wasn't such a great idea. We'd have an 8% unemployment if government, you know, jobs had stayed the same. But, oh, I'm sorry, so government jobs, does this now include the Pentagon? Is this our military? We should just cut by 10%? Suddenly, you know, Giuliani doesn't like anyone, collecting a government paycheck. That's an awfully big umbrella to start talking down people as suggesting they're all lazy and sitting around and inefficient.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, Eric Poehler remains in the sidecar. We continue Right Wing World after this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller.
It funks your brother?
Right,
what?
It does. It certainly does. 22 minutes after the hour. Eric Bowler from
Stephanie
Media Matters.
Misinterpreted that line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We continue Right Wing World. Juan Williams and Herman Cain. How fun on Hannity.
Now we're approaching a sequester. They're going to pull money helter-skelter from every sector. What do you think that's going to do to our economy?
Why? You're dead wrong. Those weren't the factors that caused the economy to contract.
That's
Trust
what
me.
The economist said,
nope.
Herman.
Those are the wrong economists. Why don't you listen to the 80% that are analyzing all of the factors? That's what they are not doing, Juan.
I see. Just like it was the wrong pollsters.
Yeah.
For Mitt Romney, right, Eric?
The proud new Fox News contributor, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I guess what his debating skill is just going to be, you're talking to the wrong economist, or the wrong scientist, or the wrong historian.
Those are the wrong numbers, right?
He definitely brings the Tea Party perspective, which is we live in a parallel universe, and we have our own facts, and we have our own history, and it makes it easy.
To quote Megyn Kelly to Karl Rove, is this just Republican math that makes you feel better about yourself? Bill Kristol on Fox News Sunday.
Look, the White House proposed it originally, so the White House was being misleading recently when they denied that. On the other hand, a majority of Republicans in Congress voted for it. So they both accepted it as a trigger, as a kind of fail-safe mechanism. It would be too horrible to contemplate. And now it's happening. And it's just pathetic, really, that this is a political debate about Democrats. I hate to sound like some Google. We are
how many months away from the next election? Kind of a long way. This is the kind of thing, in September of the election year, you understand, okay, you're not going to get a compromise for the national interest. Really? In February? Right after a national election? You people can't rise above this sniping? The President of the United States does stupid campaign events with people, with emergency responders behind them as props. Right. The Republicans in the House sit around saying, oh, hey, let it go in. We're tough guys. It's we're going to stand up to things. What about the military?
Wow. So George Bush never used, let's say, first responders as, what's the word, props? Right.
Well, you know, he was grasping at some logic there, yeah. So give him credit. Yeah. But the key phrase there was, after an election, they can't compromise. Gee, traditionally what happens after an election, traditionally what happens when one side wins an electoral landslide, they're able to get some sort of movement from, you know, the party out of power. But look, the Republicans have just completely tore up all the traditional rules, whether it's cabinet confirmations or dealing with the White House, and that's the way it's going to be. And I guess, you know, obviously McChrystal is frustrated, but he doesn't quite have enough courage yet to come up and articulate what it's really about, which is this radical obstructionism in the Republican Party.
Yep, absolutely. Sean Hannity on the sequestration.
Government projects these massive increases every year. We're borrowing over $1 trillion a year, 46 cents of every dollar we're borrowing. This year's budget, with all the president and his demagogy and doom and gloom and his predictions, we're going to spend more money this year than we spent last year. And he acts as though this is a Mayan apocalypse, that the book of Revelation is the seals have been opened and the hell and fury of the final days is upon us. That just cannot be true. Why does he do this?
Oh, he's a little drama queen.
Wow.
Yeah. Bunch of stuff the president never said, but okay. Yeah.
He was feeling it there, wasn't he? So I think this is part of the sequester is no big deal. The cuts are no big deal. There's definitely a couple of camps that we've seen. And some in the conservative press are definitely sort of pushing this, like, hey, this is what we want. We want to starve the government. We want to drown it in the bathtub. This is going to be a good thing. So I think we should just put that all on the record and get it recorded, and we'll see if this actually does happen, and we'll see what the impact is, and then let's see if they still stand by this is a great thing to have
of course
massive draconian cuts overnight. But yeah, in one sense, it plays into their fantasy about, you know, drastically reducing the size of the government, and some of them are definitely making the bet that, hey, this will be great for us. Well, Bill Kristol and others realize it's just that it's going to be a nightmare for the Republican Party.
Yeah, exactly. Liz Cheney on Hannity.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it comes back to President Obama. He has come into office. He's been very clear. He wants to weaken the United States. He wants to diminish our power in the world. He doesn't believe the United States should be the preeminent power in the world. And when you look at that list you just mentioned now, all of that, you know, it's bearing fruit. And we're seeing what happens when America's enemies are bolder, are stronger, are more willing to stand up for what they believe in than we are to stand up for what we believe in.
I think it shows...
What are you talking about?
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of, you know, we were talking about the press during the Iraq war. I mean, just hearing these neocons like Liz Cheney talking about what a failure Obama is, you know, these were the people that, you know, were cheerleading the $2 trillion war.
Right.
You know, 4,000 Americans dead, at least 100,000 Iraqis dead, 30,000, 50,000 Americans wounded. I mean, for them to even have the gall to go on TV, you know, and lecture Obama about how he's doing everything wrong in foreign policy and somehow, you know, America's standing, you know, it's just kind of disgraceful.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, it's somebody new, Stan Solomon?
Yes.
On the Talk to Solomon radio show.
That's right.
Awesome.
The Obama administration, starting with Obama and all the other people in that administration, believe that the American people will accept the use of strength, be it the military or non-military, to forcibly disarm and in the process hurt, kill, imprison not one, not 100, but thousands, maybe tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Americans. Do you really think they think that will be able to move forward?
Wow, he's new at this radio thing.
He's awful.
Wow.
Talk to Solomon? No, thanks.
Wow.
Yeah, right. But, you know, he's certainly tapping into, you know, the guttural fear out there, right? The gun crazy fear and what Obama wants to do and things like that. Somewhat unrelated, but I just came across it today. Larry Pratt, you know, is his right wing gun nut.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we featured some of the stuff he said on Media Matters. He was on this NRA talk show last week talking about if Obama takes guns and we see another Waco, you know, he was basically warning Obama that his family would not be safe.
And, oh my God.
Yeah. Wow. So this is just, you know, we laugh about Obama derangement syndrome when it's Michelle Obama in the Oscars, but there's a deeper
danger to it.
Right? Yeah, dangerous undertone. Absolutely. Eric, great stuff this week. A pleasure as always.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you next week. There he goes. He's awesome. Irma Gerd.
Irma Gerd.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That was a fake fart, because I couldn't summon up a real one to express my disgust with
Stephanie Miller.
don't roker yourself if you're...
Yeah.
Okay. I just did a roker. Oh, why, thank you, T-Bone. Look at that. He's just brought me water. Like,
yay,
look,
T-Bone!
Thank you, Angel. Okay.
It's vodka. Yeah.
I'm a little dehydrated. Okay. You know what? I need some TheraBreath mouth-wetting lozenges.
Hey. How about that for a segue?
See, huh, what I did there? This hour brought to you by TheraBreath Mouthwash and Toothpaste. Nothing works faster and longer at knocking out bad breath than TheraBreath. TheraBreath Mouthwash and Toothpaste available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores.
Yeah.
And the mouth-wetting lozenges?
They're awesome.
Awesome.
Love them.
And, of course, without the mouth-wetting lozenges, you'd have trouble saying mouth-wetting lozenges.
Exactly. Okay.
You sound like Marco Rubio trying to eke out a sentence.
It's the Saturday Night Live version.
Yeah.
Okay. Dale in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dale.
Hello.
Hi,
I
want to
quote Grandpa Simpson and say that I am not a crank.
Okay.
The Republicans, I've got sequest nausea myself, but the Republicans took a perfectly good Clinton economy, our Clinton economy, mm-hmm. and they ruined it. I mean, they insisted on what their trickle-down voodoo nonsense.
Right.
And now they're wanting to take everything that we're trying to do, that the president's trying to do, and prevent us from rebuilding it.
Yep.
And that this whole sequester is part of that. We have empirical evidence that your experiment failed.
Mm-hmm.
Now let us get on with our experiment, let's call it.
Yeah,
and it's like they're coming in and they're sabotaging our efforts. Yeah. Now we were fairly cooperative.
I mean, Dale, but you know, what was Reagan's budget director? Trickle down didn't work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like exactly. We have empirical evidence. It's he was the one that came out and said Paul Ryan's budget is nonsense.
That's right.
It's Reagan. I mean, that's the thing. These are facts and numbers and policies that have already been tried.
That was a great Mudcat impression, by the way.
Thanks.
Was no,
thanks.
No, the guy on the phone.
Oh, right, exactly.
You were saying,
maybe it was.
You were saying thanks.
Kelly in West Virginia. Hi, Kelly.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can you be a left-wing gun nut?
Yes.
Sure.
I imagine.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know, really. I've been called a gun nut, but I'm very left-wing, and when I listen to you guys there, I'm a gun nut.
Why are you a gun nut?
Well, I have a large collection of guns. I'm a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I have a farm.
How does that make you a gun nut?
Having a farm does not make you a gun nut.
Well, I have a rather large collection of guns.
How many are we talking?
27.
Oh, my God. You've got
a lot of them were passed down to me through the generations.
So you could do...
I have a gun that was used in the War of 1812.
Wow.
Wow.
Well,
you are a well-regulated militia.
And a collector.
Well, but I don't think that way. You know, I once had a crush on Clint Eastwood, so I went and got a Magnum so I could make his day. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Oh, why is somebody called you a gun nut just because you have a collection of guns? Because I don't think that's, to me, a gun nut, it means someone that is just, like Wayne LaPierre.
Someone is paranoid.
That doesn't want any kind of regulation of any kind of guns.
Okay, so I can still be a loving homo and love my guns.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. You are the official gun-loving homo of the Stephanie Miller Show.
So he could have a 21-gun salute and have six left over.
Okay, let's go to
his backup.
Gun-loving homo.
Guess who's on the phone? Your girlfriend. Hi, Queen Bee in Tennessee.
Hi, y'all.
Hey, Queen
Hello,
Bee.
Hello, sexy Chris.
How you doing, Queen Bee?
I'm doing great.
Awesome.
Earlier, you mentioned that Jackie did not believe Scott Walker. I'm sorry.
Rick Scott.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with her because what he said was, and nobody seems to have caught this, what he said was, while the federal government is paying 100% of the Medicare expansion, does that mean that after the government is no longer paying 100% that Florida is going to get out of this? I don't understand why nobody has caught that word, while.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
One other thing. Someone called in earlier about what Congress makes.
Right.
This may not be common knowledge, but John Boehner, the biggest boner in Congress,
yes,
makes $224,000 a year, plus we pay 75% of his health insurance,
mm-hmm,
plus all this money he gets from lobbyists and all this. Mm-hmm. This man makes almost $250,000 a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think they need to be paid on the days they work. If I don't go to work, I get docked.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So if they're paid by the days they work, then
yeah, you don't get
fair.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get paid for tavern days.
I don't have hard information on this, but I'm pretty sure most of these guys were already millionaires before they got into Congress.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the, you know, $250,000 a year is just gravy for someone like the bonehead.
Yeah. Robert in Albuquerque. Hey, Robert, welcome.
Hey, I don't need any mouth-wetting lozenges right now because I'm spitting mad. The latest thing coming from the right wing during this sequesterbation issue is they want to cut Head Start, and that's a program near and dear to my heart. And, you know, it basically comes down to the right-wingers I'm talking with say, well, why should kids get free preschool? My kids don't get free preschool. And it's like, well, because they're poor, and it gives them a chance to catch up. And all the statistics show that they, you know, these kids catch up by the time they hit third grade. They're right there with their wealthier peers.
And Robert, what happened to America was a we, that we, you know, because it's better for all of us, right, to have, well, you know.
Exactly. And it's like, well, why are these folks getting free food? Because they're poor. Again, we're only as good as the least of our brothers. I really feel like our president is thinking in those terms, but the right wing and the teabaggers, man, it's just a moral issue that they just can't seem to comprehend
now. It started with Reagan and the welfare queens and Cadillacs, the idea that that's where all the money's going, is the poor people.
Yep.
And
might I offer you a mouth drying lozenge, Robert?
A mouth drying lozenge?
Yes.
You know what? I could use one of those right now.
Like for when you're spitting mad. Okay. A
couple of bottles of wine, particularly.
Yeah.
James in Detroit. Hello, James.
Hi, Mama.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about Governor Rick Schneider,
uh-huh,
who is probably one of the worst governors we've had ever. He came in as the pragmatic nerd in chief. But he has done more far-right legislation than anybody I can remember. And now he has passed his right-to-work legislation. And in 2010, he helped gerrymander the Michigan Electoral College so that it makes absolutely no sense.
Mm-hmm.
And no Republican seat is up for challenge.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, by the way, we're going to have somebody on the gerrymandering stuff because it is really, again, and there is something we can do about it. We're going to talk, what is it, Courage Campaign.
No.
We're on it. We had a good discussion with Representative Adam Schiff about it, who was also talking a lot about it. Jerry in Wisconsin. Hi, Jerry. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I'd like to bring up a point about dictating terms. And the right is calling, constantly pressing, not pushing forward any tax reduction. Yet you have the loopholes for corporate jets. You have a $5 billion.
Right, and those are what
the way for the oil company.
Right.
They're simply corporate. It's corporate entitlement. It should be named that, and it should be brought up and pressed.
Well, and that's like our last caller just brought up. It's priorities. It is cutting Head Start, so you don't have to close a loophole from the stuff that you were just talking about. Common cause. That's what I meant.
Not the Courage campaign. That's something completely different.
Completely different. That's a gay thing. This is Common Cause is about doing something about the gerrymandering.
Right.
That
are
less,
the Courage campaign.
Our last caller just brought up. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
It's Monday.
Okay, I'm drunk.
Drunk and slither down
Corky.
A greasy pipe.
Hello, Corky. Hello. In New York.
Hello.
Hi.
I gotta get back to correcting these Republicans again. They keep blaming the president for new taxes. He hasn't gotten any new taxes yet. We're still trying to get back to what we had in 2002.
Yeah.
Taxes. So, you know, for $450,000 exemption, he still hasn't gotten back.
Well, Corky, you're right. And we just, somebody just mentioned, I mean, you know, how the prosperity during the Clinton years. And you're right. We're not even to those tax rates. We couldn't even get back to where we were when we had unprecedented prosperity, right?
And they keep saying he got his tax increase. He did not get a tax increase.
Yeah.
He's still in a tax negative.
Yeah.
And we got to stop these guys from spreading these lies. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Everybody's spitting mad this morning.
I know.
What's going on?
Pass out TheraBreath lozenges
exactly.
Like candy.
Aaron in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Okay. First of all, I so agree with all of the last callers, and what I have to say kind of brings a little bit together. The GOP seems to have found the Willy Wonka of politics, where they can just dream up whatever they want and then put it out there to the American public, and then if people want to believe it, they will. So that's what we're dealing with. But as far as the sequester goes and the job cuts and Boehner saying, yes, we'll lose some jobs, and oh, so be it. Well, we are all losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. We're losing our lives because we can't afford health care. And you cannot cut your way out of a hole. You just make the hole bigger. I come from a kind of a unique vantage point because my grandfather, who was born in 1921, went through the Depression, was in World War II, and when he came back, it was the jobs program that he took advantage of to be able to get him back going,
right,
to get his life up. He created his own construction company with his family. He built up a quarter of one side of our town, or a good part of our town.
Right.
Two of his four children had their own businesses, one of them being my mother, who was childcare. So you want to talk about cuts. These cuts affect the children. And the whole, you know, the children are our future,
yes,
it's not stupid, it's true. If you keep taking away the money from the parents who have made the bad decisions, the children pay for it.
Yeah.
The whole cycle keeps going, so on and so forth. But I'm passionate, I'm so ticked off about what's going on, because when I was a little girl, I loved Robin Hood, and we are now in Robin Hood, mm-hmm, because it's time for somebody to take some of the money away from the rich, and they give it back to us. I just want my solid middle-class family. I don't want $1 million
yep,
home.
Yep.
I don't want five cars. I want my kids to have a good education. Mm-hmm. I want them to know what real life and real work is. And I know that probably represents the majority of people in this country.
Yep, yep. Absolutely.
So,
good stuff. Aaron,
yes.
Everybody's on a mad. Has to have mad this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant point.
The GI Bill pretty much created the middle class.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Grandpa, thanks for taking out your Werther's on the air, by the way.
Yeah, we heard every little bit of that.
Let's crackle, crackle. And does anyone else want a butterscotch? Okay. 6 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She puts the broad back in broadcasting. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, boy. 51 minutes after the hour. It's like L.A. Story.
Well, no, we were like that.
Discussing directions.
Yeah, the SNL skit, the Californians.
Right.
What you gotta want to do is take the 5 to the 110 to the 10, get off of Jefferson. Yeah.
You know when someone laughs when you ask, how do you get to somewhere at a certain hour, that it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
I was like, how do you get to Culver City from here? And you're like, oh my God.
I think we laughed for what, 5 solid minutes.
Well, welcome to my world.
I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Or you could take, you know, the 101 to the 405, but going through the Sepulveda Pass
Google
is a
Maps
nightmare.
Is never right.
No.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Usually Sepulveda is faster, except that one time it took me 2 hours to get to Santa Monica.
I have to go shoot my film. I'm ready for my close-up. However, I think there is no way to get to Culver City from here.
No.
Okay.
That's like the worst place you could go from here. Seriously.
The rest of the show with people giving me, how do you get from Burbank to Culver City at 9 a.m.? Okay.
What are you doing here?
Have you ever seen that
yes.
sketch? Okay.
The Californians.
That's any, are you kidding? That's any party in L.A. Oh my God, traffic sucked. Oh, which way did you go?
Did
really?
You
that
meanie?
Way? No.
No.
What do you want to do?
Take La Santa, go to La Tierra.
That's the first hour of a party, and then yeah. and then everybody has to go because right. then they talk about what's the best way to get home. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Jill in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jill.
Morning, guys.
Yeah, we know how to get to Ithaca. It's up the transit.
The press before the Iraq War.
Yes.
Yeah, most of it was asleep. However, I do remember NBC had Scott Ritter on, who was absolutely telling the truth that there were no weapons of mass destruction. Of course, now he has been slimed. Gee, I wonder why. And, and NPR had been talking about a phony document regarding the aluminum tubes, and it was signed by a dead guy, you know, and the Bush administration was trying to use this as proof. To get us into Iraq, you know. I mean, I did protest. I did go to Washington for all that did. But, and as far as Giuliani talking, he should be in prison, and so should Liz Cheney's father.
Ah.
Well, you know, Giuliani was warned to get the documents out of Building 3, and he didn't. I don't know what he knew about 9/11.
Building 7. Yeah.
Oh, God. Now you've started, Jim.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Thermite is not a component of jet fuel.
Okay. Ronnie in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I'd just like to give you guys my analogy of the teabaggers and the Tea Party, which I think is the biggest problem in government today.
Yeah.
Guys like Ted Cruz. I'm 69 years old. I've been a musician pretty successful all my life. So I kind of compare everything to the music business. These people are like somebody that's had 5 piano lessons and want to take over the Philadelphia Orchestra. And they say things like, no more Bach, no more that Beethoven. We're going to do like a John Denver book. You know, some ridiculous idea. And they get people to vote for them. And it's like I watch you guys, and I see your expertise in radio. It looks pretty easy to me. Maybe I'll just start my own radio show tomorrow. I mean, this is what they do, you know, and I can't believe that people go along with that. And that's
By the way, you're singing our tune now, because that's the thing we hate the most. Oh, you only work 3 hours a day.
Yeah,
because we just show up and start talking.
As a record producer, I'm going to the studio tomorrow and book 3 minutes, because that's all the song is.
Right, exactly, so, yeah.
You know what? You've had me all the way along until you snapped on John Denver, and then you lost me.
No,
you know, anyone that does not
book, okay.
All right.
I appreciate
anyone that's
that,
not down you. With Grandma's feather bed, in my opinion, is
okay. Right.
See, I went to the sea level, Denver.
Yeah,
I didn't go with the Annie song and the, you know,
sunshine on my shoulder.
Right. I went several layers down.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain High.
Deep. Went deep, deep, deep in deep Denver.
You went into the deep cuts.
Max in Mississippi. Hey, Max.
Hey, Stephanie.
Yes, sir.
Like, anybody that's a father, it just concerns me that if this sequester goes through, they're going to cut the programs to women, infant, and children. Quick.
Mm-hmm.
Massive cuts. It's just evil.
Yeah.
It's just evil. These people send their pro-life, but once the baby's born, they don't give two blanks about the kid once it's born.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's all about giving tax breaks
to people who have homes for $24 million a year. It's about their special tax cuts.
Yep.
They're evil.
Yep.
They are evil. Don't play games like this is some kind of philosophical difference. They are evil.
All right, honey. Everybody's in a mood this morning. Is it my hangover or is everybody cranky this morning?
No, everybody's cranky this morning.
Wow.
I'm not cranky. Shut up.
I got his point. It's like our good friend Randy Rhodes says, love the fetus, hate the child. 56 after. Doug in West, speaking of Randy, Doug in West Palm Beach. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Stephanie. Well, I'll tell you what. I was talking about Rick Scott earlier, and it's amazing. She's right on. In 3 years, he's going to have it back in the courts. He's going to have everything. He's going to put as much money as he can for it. As long as the government's not paying for it, he's going to try to get rid of it all he can.
Yep.
I mean, you know, he's a lying sack of crap. I mean, what can I say?
All right.
You're a lying sack of crap.
I think that's what he's asking for.
That's what he's asking for.
You're a lying, roundabout way. Stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Thank you. Actually, I haven't heard that in a while. I enjoyed that. Yeah. In fact, we haven't heard our 4-year-old version in quite a while as well.
You're a lying sack.
No, that's the regular one.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yes.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yay.
Wow.
Okay. All right. My favorite part is how pleased she is with her rendition.
Someone texted me, tell Steph to use the current TV chopper, Burbank to Culver City in 15 minutes.
Oh, all right. Okay. Can somebody send the chopper, please?
Get the chopper.
Get the chopper.
And these kinds of things.
I'll be up on the helipad.
There's a helipad right next door at NBC.
Oh, awesome. Hey, pick me up. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Rune Pundit, much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This portion of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Mr. DUI. If you or someone you know were arrested for DUI, call Mr. DUI. That's DUI attorney Glenn S. Fleetwood. A reasonable doubt for a reasonable price. 1-800-468-2502.
Yay! All right, 6 minutes after the hour, Rude Pundit coming up at the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget SexyLiberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Tickets going very, very fast for April 13th, the big Sexy Liberal Palooza in Chicago. So go get it. All right, we have gone down another interweb rabbit hole. Well, yeah. A goat hole, actually.
A goat hole.
Can you play some more, please? Oh, yeah. Okay, so it's, I don't know why, Taylor Swift, you were trouble when you walked in with the screaming goats.
Screaming
I'm
in the
just
right
saying.
Key. As
right.
It happens, so.
But capturing all the hysteria of a Taylor Swift song.
You were trouble when you walked in.
About
I think it was John Mayer screaming, actually.
That was with many of her exes.
Harry Styles. Yeah.
Connor Kennedy. Any of them, right?
Any of them.
Oh, God. Run. Run. Don't walk. You're just going to be a song.
And
go.
Right over the weekend, she's dating someone new now.
Oh, for God's sake.
Like, don't you people learn?
See, I'm turned into a screaming goat
now. Great.
All right. You know what? Or for me, it could be the sequestration. I'm sick of it. I don't know about you.
I'm
sick of the sequestration. It's given me some frustration. I'm down on the sequestration. It's stopping the whole damn nation. I'm sick of the sequestration. It's government conservation. I'm fed up with sequestration. It's GOP masturbation. I'm sick of the sequestration.
Yay! Yay, Rocky Mountain Mike! Yeah, by the way, so obviously some teachers will lose their jobs, yep. Which normally is a bad thing. These teachers, however, maybe not.
Uh-oh.
Gawker.
Oh, no.
Do you hear the story? Mm. People just have a weird sense of humor. Evil middle school teachers prank students with fake Disney World field trip.
Oh.
That's awful.
Two 8th grade classes at Roseland Public School in Windsor were made the butt of an extremely cruel and unusual prank orchestrated by a pair of evil teachers. It involved tricking the students into thinking they were going on a field trip to Walt Disney World in Florida. The prank was so elaborate it involved a promo video, a PowerPoint presentation, travel brochures, hotel information, and a fake permission slip. The bizarre joke culminated in a grand reveal that was captured by one of the teachers on an iPad and shown to another class for and giggles. The heartbroken kids were apparently distraught to the point of tears, and some were still dealing with the shock and humiliation of being told they were going to a bowling alley instead.
Ugh. What is wrong with people?
Wow. That's just mean.
Wow. Why not just kill their pets right in front of them?
Yikes. You know? Yikes. That makes me want to scream like a goat. Man reports porn worth $6,500 was stolen.
Wow.
That's some platinum-plated porn.
Wow. That's going to be, right? That's got to include, like, exes talking about how they've never had sex as good as with you and their lives are miserable now. That's got to be, that's some gold-plated porn there.
That is.
That's got to be.
Platinum-plated. See, it's
right.
Alliteration.
Right. All right. What is in a $6,000 porn collection? One just wonders. Okay.
Huh.
All your exes screaming in agony? Something like screaming goats. That's all.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like Truman. Taylor Swift's exes.
Exactly. In a lake of fire.
Yeah.
Okay. Truman in Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Truman.
Good morning, Miss Miller. How are you?
Good morning, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, listening to the distortion about the headcount reduction in the federal government,
mm-hmm.
having been in the federal government, various levels, contract managers, et cetera, bidding. When they talk about a headcount reduction, what they do is they put it up for bid, a department, and that bid is then accepted by an integrator, and that integrator takes over that entire department, such as in the IRS when they want to put a new system in.
Okay.
There will be 35, 40 people. That integrator takes it, but those 35, 40 people are now off the books. So that's how you get your headcount reductions in the federal government. I've seen it for years.
Yeah. Okay.
Secondly,
yes.
The sequestered thing you'd understand is that is a reduction in the increase that was planned for the year back on October 1st. So if a department such as teachers, for instance, Department of Education.
Right.
On a budget increase of 5%, they will get a budget increase now of about 2%. They're increasing their budgets. So people need to understand and stop all this hysteria. Have a good day.
Oh, okay. Well,
have a good day.
I don't think you would call the education secretary hysterical, but this is what Arne Youngkin said about
We don't have any ability with dumb cuts like this to figure out what the right thing to do is. It just means a lot more children will not get the kinds of services and opportunities they need, and as many as 40,000 teachers could lose their job.
Yeah, I'm going to go with his analysis, sir. By the way, don't be calling here just talking a lot of mumbo-jumbo and think you proved your point.
Yeah.
Integration, blah, 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 blah.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Good day to you.
Good day, sir.
You get nothing. Good day to you.
Apparently. All right, Gerald. Thanks. Gerald in Santa Barbara. Hi, Gerald.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for
calling. The last caller had some very good points, which haven't been raised.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I did want to mention was that when Obama ran in 08, he agreed that he was going to cut the deficit in half in his first term and that he was going to do a line-by-line veto of all the waste and fraud in the government. And in his first 4 years, there were no cuts, and he almost doubled our deficit of what, 4 points.
Gerald, he didn't double the deficit. That is, okay.
Yeah.
It's right-wing talking point day.
It is. It really is.
He put the wars
trolling
on the books. They were George Bush's wars.
The wars were not on the books previously. Obama did the right thing and put them on the books, which led to.
Well, why should you put them on the books? Okay, stupid, put them on the books.
Cuts for the rich. Medicare Part D wasn't paid for. Okay.
Whatever.
Okay. All right then.
Yeah, but he's Kenyan. Yeah.
Lots of George Bush's goodies for the rich were not
put
on the books.
He's a communist socialist.
Why do we get the feeling they're at like a call center next to each other? The last caller made a good point. Good point.
Good point, sir.
They're at the right-wing troll center.
You hear all the trolls in the background.
Okay. Let's go to Ed in Philly. Hey,
they're
Ed.
All under the same grades.
Hey, how's it going, Steph?
Yes, hello, Ed.
Hey, how's it going, Steph?
Good, go ahead.
I'd like to be the official chemist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, we needed one.
Yes.
Hey, the reason why I called is with everybody who's actually making money off of this economy, hiding money offshore and other goodies like that, or not paying their taxes.
Right.
You can cut the government down to nothing. All we would be paying would be, you know, the interest on the debt, and we'd still be broke. I mean, corporations are hiding money overseas and Cayman Islands and whatnot. I mean, this is nuts. Man, we have to change everything so that, you know, the small business, like the pizza guy, you know, the guy has a freaking gas station, they actually pay less money, and the middle class pays less money instead of corporations paying less money. I mean, we're in bad shape until that happens.
Yep, I hear you. Okay, good points. By the way, this is big news. The Obama administration on Friday urged the Supreme Court to strike down the Defense of Marriage Act in a brief that calls the law unconstitutional because it violates the fundamental guarantee of equal protection. And by the way, the Prop 8, all that stuff coming up very quickly.
It is.
March 26th, right?
March 20-something.
26th, I believe.
Yes, okay.
Yes. Our legal expert was at my party yesterday. That's going to be Brenda, constitutional scholar, my friend.
Okay.
She's going to be in the Supreme Court for the thing, and then she'll call us and give us her analysis.
Thank you.
All right.
Good. Phew.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm still
drunk.
Yes. Deidre in Annapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Deidre.
Good morning. I am holding myself so that I don't punch my Republican husband. But let me tell you something. These John Boehner, Liz Cheney, all these phony Americans. We won two elections with this president. He tried to work with them for the first 4 years and pay off the bills that weren't being paid.
Thank you.
And now he's saying, you had your turn, you didn't do it, now you're going to do it my way.
Right.
I am so angry at these Republicans. Other than that, I'm really having a pretty good day.
Deirdre, do not punch your husband. I recommend Taylor Swift with the Screaming Goats.
You know
he was trouble when he walked in. See, I bet you I'm saving a lot of Republican significant others from being punched today. See, it'll make you giggle. It'll get out of your system. There you go. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour. Oh boy. It's Monday. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Making right-wing wackos everywhere hurl. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Wow. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the Rude Pundit coming up at the bottom of the hour. Let's go to Jeremy in Anaheim. Hey, Jeremy, welcome.
Hey, Stephanie, if you think it's bad to be baited and switched with a bowling alley instead of Disney World, wait till the Tea Partiers wake up on their way to this free market paradise and wake up on the real thing known as Somalia or Mexico.
Right.
Anyways.
It's a libertarian paradise.
The real reason I called is that, you know that, if anyone remembers that practical joke that a group of people plays on a single person where everybody moves over when they look down and the person looks up and all of a sudden they feel like they're the ones that moved? Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
No.
I've never heard of that, but it sounds interesting. Yeah.
It is a practical joke, but basically that's what the Republicans are doing. They are in unison moving so far to the right, and that way they can point to Obama and say, well, gee, he's to the he's so far to the left of us that it must be him that's the left-wing Maoist. And
yeah.
They think we're so stupid that we're not going to notice that basically Reagan was to the right of Obama, to the left of Obama.
Yeah.
That's how they drag us to the right.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Interesting, the immigration debate obviously going to be coming up. Next, speaking of what side is left and right in these debates, this is in the LA Times.
Yep.
Business owners emerge as vocal force in pro-immigration debate. Here, you have they always say, oh, Republicans are the only pro-business party. It's an interesting article. Business owners emerge as a vocal force in pro-immigration debate. Farmers, restaurateurs, and others who want to ensure workers continue coming into the U.S. to fill jobs they say Americans don't apply for. Mm-hmm. And there's a farmer quoted in here, spent a few minutes talking to Joe Wright near the vast open fields of his dairy farm. It quickly becomes clear he's a staunch Republican. But Wright said he's ready to leave the Republican Party if it doesn't push hard for immigration reform this year. So this is where the sides are blurring on some of these issues. He said this is an issue where the conservative Republicans are just plain wrong. We cannot milk cows without Hispanic labor, period.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about, he said it's going to be much harder to operate his farm as Congress does not pass immigration overhaul. The work is dirty, herding cows at dawn, milking 144 an hour with the help of machines, giving them shots. Here's the fun part. Here's the money part. Sticking a hand into a cow to check whether she's pregnant while she defecates on you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And though the job comes with housing, it calls upon employees to be available at all hours should a cow get sick or go into labor. Americans don't apply for the jobs, he said, even though they can earn $10 or more an hour. He said, I hired an Anglo once. He made it 30 days, but he didn't make it 60. But interesting, they're talking about in different states the effects in Georgia where they passed a measure requiring police to check the immigration status of criminal suspects. Growers lost 40% of the crops because farmers didn't have enough to have the labor to harvest it. In Arizona, where they enacted SB 1070, some construction companies can no longer find enough workers because so many Latinos have left the state. Here's where it's going to come down to labor and business. They say labor wants both undocumented immigrants and legal guest workers to eventually have a path to citizenship, but business owners say if migrant workers become U.S. citizens right away, they'll leave the low-paying and grueling jobs at farms and restaurants. One of the areas of concern, most in concern in the immigration reform is whether business and labor can both get on board on a proposal for future flow. Mm-hmm. But this is where Republicans are going to get pressured by business owners, and they always say they're the only party that's good for business. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. All right. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Well, good morning, lovely Stephanie.
Hello.
And too long a break. So, please forgive me, but I couldn't resist. When you played that song, I Saw Your Boobs from the Oscars last night.
Yes.
I couldn't pop it out. It stuck in my brain. I was thinking with you and I touched your boobs.
Yes.
In front of 100 and dollar tweet, I touched your boobs. Sorry.
Yes. I motorboated you. Right.
You
motorboated him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kevin, in D.C. You remember at the Sexy Liberal Show.
No, other way around.
Yeah. He motorboated you, didn't he?
All right, Kevin, go ahead.
I don't care if she got me or I got her, as long as I got Gat. But anyway,
everybody got Gat.
But anyway, this is a plea to everyone to please, in the midterms, please come out in a presidential type turnout because I'm sure you saw in the polls last week, Washington Post, Pew, Gallup, every issue, even on some issues, majority of Republicans agree with Obama, and yet you see how they're going. They're going to let this sequestration come through, apparently. So,
did you say sequestration? It's hard to say sequestration. You said sequestration.
Yeah, close enough.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I caught stumbling a words from Stephanie. Okay.
I am drunk, however, so that's the difference.
Yes.
But he did see my boobs.
We saw your boobs. We saw your boobs. In the movie that we saw your boobs. Meryl Streep, we saw your boobs in Silkwood. Naomi Watson, Mulholland Drive. Angelina Jolie, we saw your boobs in Gia. They made us feel excited and alive. And Hathaway, we saw your boobs in Brokeback Mountain. Halle Berry, we saw them in Monsters Ball. Nicole Kidman and Eyes Wide Shut, Marissa Tomei and The Wrestler, but we haven't seen Jennifer Lawrence's boobs at all. We saw your boobs. We saw your boobs. In the movie that we saw your boobs.
Kristen Stewart, we saw your boobs in On the Road. And in Monster, we saw Charlize Theron's. Helen Hunt, we saw them in the sessions. And Scarlett Johansson, we saw them on our phones. Jessica Chastain, we saw your boobs in Lawless. Jodie Foster in The Accused. Hilary Swank and Boys Don't Cry, Penelope Cruz in Vanilla Sky, and Kate Winslet in Heavenly Creatures and Jude, and Hamlet, and Titanic, and Iris, and Little Children, and The Reader, and whatever you're shooting right now. We saw your boobs. We saw your boobs. Ladies and gentlemen, the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles.
We saw your boobs, 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 we saw your boobs.
I like that.
That was funny. But of course, the best part is the part that made the right wing, right wing's head explodes.
And the Oscar goes to Argo.
What? The first lady? What's she doing in my Oscars? Yeah, the right wing went nuts.
They went ape dump.
Right? Exploding head syndrome everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't. Well, what do they think? She invited herself? I don't understand.
And they conveniently forget that people like Laura Bush, George W. Bush, George Bush Sr.,
right.
Ronald Reagan have all appeared at major events like
they're
this.
They're not Kenyan communist socialist Nazis.
Yeah.
Bad Muslim.
Right.
They're just a bunch of whiners.
Yeah. But they do it because they're uppity, clearly, is their point.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour. The Rude Pundit next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Remember, kids, she's not a whore if she's an actress.
All right, 34 minutes after the hour. I'm going to be an actress today.
I'm
going to shoot a film directly after the show today.
And what
role? By the way, you can stop with the directions to Culver City. I'm good now. I'm good.
Are you sure?
I've got it. T-Bone's got it.
There are a million ways to go.
I know. Okay. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anyone.
What's your role?
Me. I'm playing
Stephanie Miller.
Interviewing celebrities on the red carpet at the Oscars.
For what film is this?
I think David Duchovny's in it. It's a real film.
Wow.
It's a feature film.
Okay.
Yes.
How about that?
Okay.
So it's not one of those, you know, porn things that, you know, they tell you it's a real film and then you get there and it's a porn?
It would be in the valley. I wouldn't need to.
That's true. Why is Ron Jeremy here? What?
Hey, he's back up and in action.
Yes, he is.
Guess who I saw on an audition the other day?
Who?
Tone Loc. Who does our...
No way.
Who does our top-of-the-hour film music?
Thanks you. Thank you for playing another edition of That's So Random.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, it's weird. Monday, everybody.
Sleep off of the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
It's all cattywampus, though. This is hour three. He's usually in hour one.
I know, right? You're late. Good morning, Rudeness.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes I actually have to pretend like I have a job.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out what the porn name for your show would be, since, you know, that's the rule. Everything has to have a porn version.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Like the little sperm maid.
Right.
Know.
Yes.
So,
or the title be.
Right. Poke My Hauntus. Something. The porn version of,
The Stephanie Miller's. What would that be?
I don't know. Okay.
There you go. A conundrum for the rest of the day.
So, Rudeness, did you see the Twitterverse explode, the right-wing Twitterverse explode with the Michelle Obama was on the Oscars?
I did. Why?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't understand. Were they... would Ann Romney have been better?
Yeah, right.
Stop it.
Stop it. This is hard. This is hard, the Oscars.
Stop it.
Now, Rudeness, you have an interesting take. We've been talking about this all morning. A lot of folks from Florida chiming in on the Rick Scott decision.
Yes.
And you write, let us now praise Skeletor, for he has made Florida suck a little less. Giving him some props, you say, look, Republican Governor Rick Scott, who looks like what you see before death sucks your soul out, is an opportunist, possibly a swindler and a fraud enabler, and is the head. He looks like when it comes to things like voting rights, drug tests, and more, and there's no doubt that he is scared less about re-election 2014 when the waning power of the Tea Party won't propel him back into office. But you got to call him as you see him in this polarized nation, and his statement on why he's accepting the federal funds to expand Florida's Medicaid rolls over the next 3 years is deserving of mostly praise. A lot of people don't trust him in Florida as much as you do right now, I guess.
Well, I think that they're looking to see what's the angle, you know, right. Where is he going to make profit, or where is the company that I guess his wife runs now?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you know, in the end of the day, a million people are getting some level of health care.
Yeah, well, that's what Chris said. Like, who cares why he did the right thing if he did it, I guess.
Exactly. I don't care. Yeah. Somebody, this is the way our medical system works here. Somebody is getting rich. That's, you know, we saw that in that, you know, amazing Time magazine piece by Stephen Brill. Somebody's getting rich. At least if somebody's getting rich this time, at least somebody's getting health care.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting. Jackie's from Florida, and she was saying that she doesn't trust his whole thing about, oh, it's I was thinking of my mother and yada, yada. But you were saying that his statement was actually kind of stunning for who he is. You said it was a full-throated defense of using government funding to give health care to the poor to say that it's an imperative to do so.
Right. And he didn't just say, he could have said, you know, oh, you know, I want, my mother's death made me have some reflection on this. But he actually went so far to say, you know, it must be accessible and affordable, not just those in certain zip codes or tax brackets. I mean, that's taken it a little farther than he might have had to have gone if he'd have just said, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to not give poor people health care?
Right. Well, I mean, but you also make a good point that he said something that you wish, like the rest of the Republicans got the memo, is that there was an election. He said, regardless of what I or anyone else believes, the Supreme Court decision in a presidential election made the president's health care mandates the law of the land. And so, you know, him saying that basically elections matter.
Right. Why wouldn't the rest of the GOP – you wish the rest of the GOP would get behind that idea that, well, okay, the country spoke. And you know, you see Republicans say this every once in a while. I think Jindal even said it on Meet the Press yesterday, saying, well, you know, there was an election. And, of course, for Jindal, that just means, you know, we got to change the way we talk about how much we hate the poors and the gays.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. But, you know, you say it isn't perfect. Scott's not going to set up the insurance exchanges, although that means the federal government will do it, which to me is the, you know, added irony.
Right.
But, you know, you close by saying one or two good policy decisions does not make up for a couple of years of hurry, as you call it. But when someone does something unexpectedly right, especially when doing so makes them something of an apostate, it deserves notice. So, you know, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, again, at the end, is this going to do good for a lot of people? And, you know, that's got to be the bottom line these days.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you wish, as you were saying, even in the sequestration fight, they would get that there was an election, that he ran on exactly these issues. And the American people, as, you know, as the president said the other day, agree with him. And yet, it doesn't look like it's going to matter, does it, in this latest
Have you ever seen anything as boggling as this? I mean, just what do you think? You're sitting there, you're going, okay, you know, we went through the whole debt ceiling thing that hit the credit rating of the nation. That was just insane. Come on, they can't get any worse. And then we're doing this, which has no rhyme or reason behind it other than everybody's calling each other's bluff. It's crazy. Did you see the list that they put out today of how every state is affected on a state-by-state basis?
Yeah, and the governors are getting nervous, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was looking at California. You guys are screwed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well,
we're used to being screwed.
Yeah, we
yeah
are.
I guess so.
Yeah, since we had the governor there and all of this, and these kinds of things of this nature.
That's because they let us run the state with those stupid propositions. It's like, would everyone like a glitter farting unicorn? Yes. Would you like to raise your water bill? No. No taxes.
I love things like in California, 15,810 fewer children will receive vaccines. I love that. Yeah,
what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you want to have children with measles, mumps, rubella, whooping cough, and the flu just wandering the streets of Sacramento.
Yeah, exactly. And longer lines at the airport. That's going to be way.
Oh more. Yeah, that's wow. Yeah. I you know, you're hoping that there's some amount of exaggeration going on here, just to get the rhetoric heated up for what will hopefully be one more last second rescue. But I don't know, something about the seriousness with which this is being talked about by governors, by everyone, I don't believe – what is it? Was it Krauthammer who said, oh, it's not going to be as bad. Everybody's right. just running around saying the sky is falling.
Right. Yeah. But we played – Rudy Giuliani said that, right, when we're all like, oh, it's not so bad. You know, the government has too many, you know, has too many employees anyway.
And they're saying that because the sky is actually falling. I'm looking at it right now.
Right. Yeah. Because the air traffic controllers are not there.
Yeah. The airports that are going to close. I think, that was on Meet the Press, the David Gregory bringing that up with Jindal, that one of your airports might have to close in the state.
Yep.
Oy, God.
Which, to be honest, it's a pretty crappy airport, but...
Well, okay, there's that.
You're from there.
Yeah.
Before you go, I think the most important question, what the hell was Life of Pi about? I don't really... it's about a guy in a boat with a tiger? I don't really... I didn't get it.
I
did not see it.
I did see it. And, you know what? I just saw it as... I wish I'd have dropped acid before. because I just saw it as, look at all these... pretty things
colors,
floating by.
Unfortunately, a lot of kids saw the movie, and they really shouldn't have, because there's a lot of animals dying.
It was like a BP ad. I don't know.
All the animals died off screen. You didn't actually see, you know. That was the thing. It was 3D. How cool would it have been to see a tiger tearing something apart in 3D? No, they deny us that.
I was looking for more pie.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Actual pie. Our congratulations to Ang Lee, who won director movie.
And
that acid trip.
They should have served.
You know, there's no way to really talk about what's wrong with that movie without totally spoiling the end.
I know.
They should have served acid-laden pie.
There you go.
See, I can't talk about why Silver Linings Playbook irritated me so much, because I'll ruin the ending.
Yeah, we could talk about how much Zero Dark Thirty irritated everybody.
Oh, did you
see
that?
We all know how that ends.
Did you see the piece in the New York Times yesterday? This is exactly the point, because I finally saw it this weekend. That's exactly the point I've been making. It's what is it? Hollywood Lies and Torture.
Yeah, it's posted on your Facebook page, Steph.
It's basically this character, Rue, that was... tortured in the movie is a composite character in any way, but they were saying even the real guy was not tortured. I mean, the movie absolutely makes it seem like torture led to us getting Bin Laden, and he said that absolutely was not the case. That guy was never
waterboarded. Yeah.
Right, and they said the guy that was, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, waterboarded 183 times, he actually gave them information that led them away from the courier. How we eventually got
showing that one of the prisoners was such a badass that he could take 183 waterboardings would have really destroyed the narrative.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, and that's exactly what I was saying. His point in this piece that was in the New York Times yesterday is that you should declassify this. You know, that you can't make a film about a historical thing that is so inaccurate.
Right.
And that's exactly what McCain is saying.
That's what happens when Dick Cheney is the technical advisor.
Yeah.
Well, if you get a chance, Glenn Greenwald has just this gleeful little dance on the grave of Zero Dark Thirty's Oscar dreams in The Guardian.
Of course.
No, I mean, because I've said this, that I get Catherine Bigelow actually wrote a piece where she said, I don't believe that torture led to... us getting Bin Laden, she was saying that it would have been inaccurate. I mean, there was torture during that period, but I agree with people that say, yes, but the way it was portrayed in the film was inaccurate.
No.
Historically, it made it seem like, any logical person, that this torture led to us getting Bin Laden, and that was not the case.
No, in the movie, it is an A to B to C thing. They torture somebody, they end up using the threat of torturing him again to get the nickname of the courier, and that leads to them finding the courier later on.
But A to B to C is how you construct a movie. You can't construct a movie like real life. It's too messy.
Yeah, but they say at the beginning, based on real events,
that's not
the truth. It's too big a historical event to get it wrong, I think.
And before everybody started talking about, maybe we were upset a little bit about the way torture is portrayed, the filmmakers were out there saying, oh, yes, we tried to be as journalistic as possible in this. So, sorry, you can't have it both ways. You can't then back off when people are saying, yeah, but if you're journalistic, you got the facts wrong.
Right.
They should have had him being eaten by the tiger from Life of Pi.
There you go, Jim.
That's a torture.
Very
or watch Les Mis.
More importantly, Sean McLaughlin on Twitter has come up with a porn name for this show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Stephanie Drill Her Show.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Try the sausage. All right.
You
love
haven't
you.
In a long time.
All right. Love you, Rudeness. See you next week.
Bye.
All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
She listens to right-wing wacko radio, so you don't have to anymore. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Minimilla.
All right, enough with the porn names for my show. The Stuffer and Filler Show?
No,
is that the porn name?
The Stuff Me and Filler Show.
Okay, thanks. Thanks. I don't even know how we got on that.
Rude Pundit.
Oh. What would
Who else?
My show's porn name be.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, so we were going over the because I missed most of the Oscars in a drunken stupor. I had an Oscar party and I
don't remember it.
Yeah, Melissa Fitzgerald left this morning. And we were both like, "Do you remember anything?" I was like, "No, I don't know." We were
Where
drinking.
Did she sleep?
Not with me. Let's not start.
Well, words. I mean, you've been known to make moves on your straight friends.
I don't believe I had to make the apology call this morning. I'm sorry.
Did I do what I thought I did?
I don't. Remember.
Oh, dear.
I do remember at one point she was reaching to get the Gatorade, and I think she was straddling me. I was like,
Ooh,
yeah, I don't
hello.
That's going to be a stuff of dreams serving for a while.
Gatorade as mixers last night?
No, that's what you drink the morning after.
We were trying to rehydrate.
Electrolytes.
I see.
We were having a slumber party. That part was in my bed, but nothing else. There was nothing else. It was just Gatorade. It was just hydration.
Okay. Was the party in your bedroom?
Later it was. It was a slumber party later. Okay, let's not get into all the details.
I left too soon, clearly.
Apparently.
Nothing happened. She just made her hot Brie, which is her porn name.
Mm-hmm.
You had some, Jim.
I did.
All right, so.
I got some hot Brie in D.C. also, on stage.
All right. Yeah, I had to explain that to your wife. I was like, I set that up. The whole thing where Melissa kissed him, that was my, Jim did not enjoy it at all.
It's a good thing she
that
not,
was my skit.
It's a good thing Janique was not the jealous type.
She just looked like she would punch me.
Yeah.
All right. So I was looking at the lesser things, because who pays attention to those anyway? But I was really surprised that Zero Dark 30 won for sound editing. What? How hard could that be? And you couldn't really
what
hear the dialogue. Because
I can't hear you.
What? Right. What? It's like a hard of hearing Darth Vader over what? Helicopters and gunfire.
What?
Okay, we just did it for you.
Although wasn't
you don't have to see Zero Dark 30 now. That was it.
Wasn't the raid itself silent?
Well, as silent as you could make it with helicopters.
Helicopters? Oh. Yeah, no, you can't.
But like when they landed and went through the house, I mean, they couldn't let anybody know that they were there.
Well, except for the gunfire. All right.
Okay.
Hello, anybody home?
Yeah. All right. Would you like to know the fun facts about the swag bags?
Oh,
yeah. For the Oscars yesterday?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Gawker brings us a story. What inappropriate items are in the Oscar swag bag that 9-year-old, I can't say her name.
Q. They call her Little Q.
Little Q. Let's see what she got.
Okay.
A bong?
Gawker writes, people get into acting for all sorts of reasons, because they relish exploring the complexities of the human spirit, because they majored in art history and are otherwise unemployable, because they love gift bags. Mostly it's the gift bags.
Yeah.
Gift bag, wow, worth $45,000.
And you have to pay taxes on that if you accept
wow.
it. Yeah.
9-year-old Little Q is what we're going to call her.
Yeah.
Little
Q Wallace. Her last name is Wallace.
That's by the way, easy. Nate Silver called it again about, you know, Jennifer Lawrence was going to win. The man's a genius. He's a numbers genius.
He is.
All right, you've got a choice of two luxury trips to Australia. The vampire facelift. Always good for a 9-year-old.
Vampire facelift?
The vampire facelift, $5,000, a procedure that puts acid in your face to make you look younger. Little Q won't look a day over 8. Heathrow by invitation, that's $1,800. Private VIP service for dignitaries, heads of states, blah, blah, blah. Windex? You get Windex?
That's left over from...
what is this, the 99-cent store?
I don't... For $3.99. I don't know why they threw that
my
in.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Remember that?
Yeah.
Put Windex on everything. So maybe it's a holdover.
Oh, naked condoms. That'll be good for her.
For a little
six-pack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Great.
Uh-huh. And tequila.
Oh.
Bonita Platinum tequila. Tequila and condoms.
Hmm.
Just put a 9-year-old.
Two tastes that go great together.
All right. Did I mention Ron Jeremy is up and at him again?
He is.
Yeah.
And we wish him well.
He's recovering from
Yes, he's almost 60, and he's right. He was near death after suffering an aneurysm. Multiple surgeries later, he's out of critical condition and ready to, you know, do that thing. Mm. Okay. The Jacksons believe their brother Michael was persecuted like Jesus. Yeah, it's probably best not to make that analogy, but I...
No.
Tito, Jackie, Marlon, and Jermaine think the late King of Pop's life mirrored the biblical figure's own existence in many ways because of the effect he had on people and the way his life was destroyed. Although there are some key differences.
Yeah.
Far be it from me to point them out. Jermaine said, you mentioned Jesus. Look what he did when he walked the earth. He did all those miracles, and they still find a way to nail him up on that cross.
I wouldn't call moonwalking
moonwalking miracle, not really, really the same as the loaves and fishes.
And
I'm
pretty sure Jesus didn't own a chimp.
Okay. all right. Al, Bill in Albany, let's go to you. Hi, Bill. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to tell you how crazy this local blog is up here is that we have a guns blog in the local paper, and it's always entertaining to have people who don't know how to use the proper verb tense talking to you about constitutional interpretation.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It's really very humorous, and it really isn't a fair fight, but what the hell.
Yeah, most of my hate letters are just really violence against the English language and punctuation of any kind.
Not a pretty thing.
Many prepositions have died in their service.
And we need to add you to the boobs song next year. So
oh, thank you. Thank you.
In Chicago.
Are you going to show your boobs in your film today?
No, not as far as I know.
No?
Okay. Is Ron Jeremy in your film?
I don't think so. All right. Well, thanks for calling. Let's go to Sean in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. You get to close us out today. Hey, Sean.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
Republican Party, public enemy number one, wanted dead or alive. We can smoke them out.
All right. Oh, I see. That was a little skit. Really? Jim, he was doing like George Bush.
We closed the show out with that.
The Republican Party. Well, that was worth waiting for. Okay. That's. Come on, kids. Everybody gets to play. It's a T-ball game. All right. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, gristle boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, T-Bone on phones and drums, Jackie, Courtney, the whole gang, and current control room. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.